Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Mark your foreheads, your lips, and your heart. Okay? One of the Pharisees, a lawyer, in an attempt to trip Jesus up, asked him, "Teacher, which commandment of the law is the greatest?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, the whole law is based, and the prophets as well." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, I wish you all a Merry Christmas. Hopefully you had a really good Christmas. One of the most important elements in baptism, symbols in baptism, is the Paschal candle. So after the children are baptized, one member of the family, could be mom or dad or one of the godparents, are going to be going back behind the baptismal font, and they will be lighting their candle. Then they're going to be walking with their candle, cupped so that it doesn't blow out, and bring the candle back to the presence of your family. The little children will be looking at the candle flickering, and they won't be touching it, thanks be to God, but they'll be seeing that candle, okay? And that's a very important symbol. And it's this: that lighted candle symbolizes Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," in the Gospel of John. But then in the very heart of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." So he's the light of the world, and you are the light of the world. Let me tell you a story that's always impressed me. There was a mother that went to church on one occasion, and when she brought her little son, who was about 3 years old. And when she went up to receive communion, the little boy stayed back. And once she came back, after receiving communion, the little boy put his head over the heart of the mother. The mother said, "Oh, what are you doing?" And the little boy said, "I'm listening to God's heart beat within your heart." He was only 3 years old. That says a lot. The boy went on to school, he became a lawyer, but he wasn't happy with that. Then he went on to become a priest. And almost immediately, the bishop sent him from France to Chablais, which is a city in Switzerland. And when he arrived, there was about 56,000 Protestants called Calvinists. And there were only 56 Catholics. After about 3 years, because of his missionary work, about 3 years there was 56,000 Catholics and 56 Calvinists. So basically, single-handedly, he converted the main hold of the Calvinists. Then when he was about 22 years younger than me, he was made a bishop in his late 30s. And then he went on to write some of the greatest spiritual classics in the history of the world. And I'll mention one or two: Introduction to the Devout Life and the Treatise on Love. And he died when he was in his mid-50s. And he was canonized a saint. He made a doctor of the church. I'll tell you his name: Saint Francis de Sales. Okay? Some of you are looking at me as if you never heard him. Well, now you have heard him. He's one of the greatest men in the Catholic Church. And one of the reasons why I say that is because how was it that he, at 3 years old, was able to recognize that his mother had the heart of God beating within his heart? And that didn't happen by chance. Because he had good parents. He had a good mother. So you have to help your child to become a saint. Okay. Maybe that sounds like a pious platitude or a nice cliche, you know? Become a saint, you know? Sounds very, very poetic almost in English, huh? Become a saint. It's not poetry, but it's reality, okay? So that should be your proposal today, on the day in which we're baptizing your children. Your proposal should be, you're going to make the commitment to try to bring your children to heaven. That's what it means. And there's no way children are going to become great saints if the parents don't try to become great saints. Because you can't give what you don't have, right? You can't give what you don't have. If the parents are not going to make a concerted effort to really become great saints, your children are not going to arrive at that point. And why lie to you? We're living in the most difficult time in the history of the world. I mean, you young people, you know that, okay? You follow the media. No, we've never lived in more difficult times as today. We've never lived in more difficult times as today. And I'm not saying that to discourage us, but really we have to stay close to God. We have to stay close to God, now more than ever. We can arrive at holiness if we stay close to God. And there's a very famous English writer, Charles Dickens, said, the best of times can be, the worst of times can be the best of times if we walk with God. Okay? The worst of times can be the best of times if we walk with God. So I'm going to make three suggestions so that all of you can be that light, that burning torch, that candle that is not flickering and is extinguished, but rather the candle, the light that is burning bright, before the eyes of your children. Okay, are you listening to me? Are you? Are you? You understand my English?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Number one is this. Is you have to grow in your prayer life. You have to grow in your prayer life. Okay, we got godparents here. Godparents, where are you? Okay, your primary responsibility toward the child is to pray for the child and to give good example. Okay? You hear that? Did you hear that? So you have to pray, but you have to give a good example. How often I hear it today, people leave the church because they say the Catholics are hypocrites, no? You hear it right and left, right? Probably all of your friends say Catholics are hypocrites, no? Well, I usually say to them, well, come back to the church, there's room for one more, I usually say, okay? A little bit of sarcasm there, huh? We all fail, right? We all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But you have to pray. You have to pray. Otherwise, we're not going to make it. We have to pray. And not to pray in a superficial way. Pray with depth. Pray with love. Pray with passion. Okay? You know, Jesus... St. Teresa says that prayer is conversation with a friend. That's how she defines it. What would happen if you're talking to me, and when you're talking, you fall asleep? What an insult, no? Or you're talking to me and I'm going like this. Ooh, boy, you are so boring. I don't say it, but I'm yawning. I'm showing that you're boring the socks off my feet, huh? You really are, no? That would be an insult. If you're talking to me, I should try to listen to you because you're important. You have dignity. You have purpose. How many of us fall asleep when we're praying or we don't even start to pray? Huh? Right? That's a weak point. Either we fall asleep in our prayer or we skip our prayer or we put it off, we put it on the back burner. We have to pray. And this is the most common topic I preach on. And one way or another, I'm always preaching on prayer. One way or another. Because if you pray well, you're going to make it. Listen to what St. Augustine says. He who prays well, lives well. He who lives well, dies well. He who dies well, all is well. Amen? That's a good one, huh? Very poetic if you read it in the Latin, okay? He who prays well lives well. He who lives well dies well. He who dies well, all is well. So parents, you know, you gotta pray. You gotta pray for the kids, and then you have to pray with the kids. So three different prepositions there. You gotta pray with, for. And teach the children how to pray. So that's key. And let me tell you this, if you don't feel like praying, pray twice as much, okay? You don't feel like praying, pray twice as much. You don't give in to your laziness. Don't feel like praying, pray twice as much. Okay, the second is this. What are the two most important things you can do in your daily life? No one's going to get it right, so I'll tell you. The two most important things you can do are, I'll give you a hint, it's a direct contact with Christ, called the sacraments. Two most important things you can do are to receive Holy Communion and go to confession. Amen? Amen? You're about to say, oh me. Amen, huh? Because we go and we see communion, we see God. Are any Catholics here this morning? Any Catholic? Do you know what Holy Communion is, any of you? Or have you forgotten it? Can anyone tell me what Holy Communion is? Are you Catholics or Protestants here? Or Jehovah's Witnesses? You don't know? I'll tell you. Holy Communion, that's God. That's God. Do you believe it or not? If you don't believe it, then I can't baptize any of the kids because you're not Catholics, no? Holy Communion, that's God. Remember the four words you will learn in your catechism 10 years ago? Body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. They're the four words. Remember those words? Kind of forgot them. I'm refreshing your tired memory, huh? The body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. So all of you want to receive Holy Communion as often as possible. Where are you going tomorrow? Las Vegas? The casino? No, you're coming to church. Best place to be, you're coming to church, right? Is that true? We heard you, you're coming to church tomorrow, right? We're coming to church, but not simply to be present. You have to also receive Holy Communion. We don't want any spiritual bench warmers here. You ever play any sports? Are you a bench warmer or do you play? Okay, I played baseball all the way into college, okay? Well, I like baseball, no? Okay? We don't want to be a bench warmer, okay? We want to play. Get in the game. You know, a lot of Catholics sit there in the mass, they're just sitting there. Like zombies, huh? Like corpses, huh? They look like they come out of Forest Lawn, huh? Resuscitating them, huh? We don't want to be corpses or dead Christians. Or the rock and roll group, the Grateful Dead of the 60s, huh? No, we want to be actively engaged in Mass. We want to receive Holy Communion. Amen? Do you believe or not? So you want to pray well, but also you want to receive communion. And how many sinners here this morning? You're not sinners? You only understand Vietnamese, maybe. That's it. How do you say sinner in Vietnamese? Okay, what? Hein. Hein. Okay, you heard it. Or hein, okay? Okay, we're all sinners. Pecadores in Espanol, huh? We're all sinners. Hey, where do we get rid of our sins? At Baskin Robbins? No. Chuck E. Cheese? No. In the confessional. You know, the person that scares me most is the person that says, well, I don't have any sins. Oh, you don't have any sins. Can I touch you? You're perfect. I don't have any sins. You meet a lot of people, I don't have any sins. Well, you're perfect. You must be God. Huh? Is your name God? No. Only God is perfect. We all make mistakes. But God is merciful. Even if you commit the worst sins in the world, God will forgive you if you can say, I'm sorry. Do you believe it? Mercy. Mercy. You too. Even did the worst things in the world. You say, God, I'm sorry. God will forgive you. Just like that. But we have to be able to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. You hear that? You have to be able to say, I'm sorry. Beautiful words. And last but not least, is at the end of the ceremony, we're going to be consecrating your children to Mary. You want me to do that? Do any of you want me to consecrate your children to Mary? Hello? Good idea? No Jehovah's Witnesses here, right? Okay. We're going to consecrate your children to Mary. So, try to grow in your devotion to Mary. Pray your rosary every day. Okay? Get that rosary in every day. Family that prays together stays together. I'd like to conclude with one other element. Okay, this is the day after Christmas. You know that, right? Do any of you know whose feast day we celebrate today? The great saint we celebrate today, so you have to remember, is the day of the baptism. Can you tell me the feast day we celebrate today? I didn't think you knew. Can you tell me? Well, I'll tell you, okay? Can you tell me? Today we celebrate the first martyr. Martyr means the first one who died for his faith. You know how they died? He was crushed with stones. His name is Saint Stephen. Have you ever heard of Saint Stephen? He was martyred for his faith today. His name is Saint Stephen. And his name actually means crowned. He was crowned with stones. So let's turn to Saint Stephen and pray for your children that they are going to be strong, because they're going to have to confront a lot of problems, maybe even persecution within the church. The church is already being persecuted, and it could be persecuted in the future like the Cristeros. It could happen. So we're going to pray that through St. Stephen's prayers that we as well as our children will be faithful until death. Amen? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.